David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. And today I have my favorite host on the show. He has a podcast on our show. He is just amazing. He is the founder of Universal Accounting. It is my one and my only Roger Knight. And he is just an amazing individual. He has such great advice when it comes to everything about living life and how you could actually how accounting and numbers play a role in our life, how it establishes from the morning we wake up to the morning till the nighttime when we go to bed. Numbers play a role in our lives, and keeping life organized and situated is so important when it comes to living life. And one of the main things that he wants to talk about today is personal finance, because there's so much to be said about personal finance, and especially nowadays with inflation, so many things are happening. And we want to learn how to live a debt-free life. We want to be able to live within our means, and we want to be able to live today, enjoy today, and plan for the future, because so many people, as you know, don't plan for the future and they don't have that exit strategy. And then when the time comes, they're lost, and that's when all the stress comes about. So Roger is here, and he is going to give you all the answers you need to learn how to live life stress-free with using the magic of numbers in your life. And Roger, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. I love your podcast. You have an amazing podcast, and I'm so glad you're here to share another episode with us about personal finance. Can you tell everybody a little about yourself and about your company and about personal finance and what you're here to talk about today?
Certainly. Stacey, thank you again for the opportunity. Yes, Roger is in the house, and so we're going to have a lot of fun with this. Basically, what it is I am the president of an accounting school. So it's Universal Accounting Center. I've been the president now for over a decade, and very excited about the opportunities that I have to talk about money and finance. And what's interesting is, although accounting isn't finance, it isn't the manage of personal revenue. Generally speaking, individuals typically see accounting professionals as one of the ones that they can go to and ask questions about personal finance. And so I often found myself in conversations where people were asking, could I share, teach, maybe help explain personal finance? And in that, I ended up actually producing a course, a curriculum for some youth groups, some youth ministry opportunities that I had. And I was teaching young adults and even more seasoned adults like myself a little bit about personal finance and what you can do to live a debt-free life. And as I taught the class, I found that it resonated very much so with individuals. It was simplistic enough to grasp the concepts of what's going on with personal finance, what our responsibilities are and what we should plan for, and how when living a debt-free life, we can be happier. So that's what we're going to discuss today.
I love it. I love it. You know, nowadays, you know, so many people, I know so many people that are struggling financially. And, you know, I can't tell you how many people I know that consistently, you know, they're struggling financially, but yet they're opening up another credit card and they're putting everything on the credit card. And the finances are just like building up, and the debt's building up, and the debt's building up. And people, you know, before you know it, you can, in a short period of time, you could have so much debt that it could take almost a decade or more to get out of that debt. And that poses a lot of stress on your personal life, your work life, you know, your whole entire life, emotionally, physically, you know, can be affected. And even your performance at work, because you have so much to worry about. I feel like it's so important to learn how to live a debt-free life, because, you know, when I first got married, I didn't grasp that concept too well, but I learned very quickly. And, you know, once I learned how to work within my means and really understand how much money was coming in, how much money was going out, how much money did I have to spend that month, and what was most important, I started to actually get myself out of debt. And I'll be honest with you, it took about 10 years for me to get myself completely out of debt in my younger days. But I got myself out of debt. And once I was able to get myself out of debt, I saved money, and I was able to eventually purchase a home, eventually live a very happy, you know, productive life, all by looking at the numbers. So that's why I stress looking at numbers and understanding what's coming in and what's going out. And, you know, it's so important, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. When you consider the ramifications of debt and how it can really be disruptive to someone's personal life and relationships, it's very important to realize this is something that you need to manage and you need to understand. It is to your wellness and happy being. So, one of the things that I always stress is that interest is either something you're earning or you're paying. And what a lot of people don't seem to realize is people are willing to give you money at a cost. They're happy to give you lines of credit at a cost. And as they give you this money so freely, it comes with some stresses. And what we need to understand is you can either be paying interest or earning interest. And what we want to do is live a debt-free life so that we're actually earning interest and basically being paid. It's where our money is working for us. And as it works for us, it grows because of the interest it's earning. You don't want to be in a debt place. And so we'll talk about good debt, where it is perhaps appropriate. But more importantly, we need to understand that we need to live in or within our means. And by doing so, it literally will actually eliminate a lot of the stresses that we may experience personally and within the relationships that we have.
Oh my God, that is so true. And one thing you had mentioned when you talked about the interest we're paying, when I one of the ways I learned how to get out of debt is that I opened up a software and I wrote down all my expenditures, all my bills. And I didn't realize, but when I got to the credit cards, I was paying, some of those credit cards were actually up to 30% in interest. So I basically was paying, if you're paying the minimum, you're paying the interest. You're not really paying the balance. So
That's
you could
right.
be in debt for a very long time and numbers could even piled up. And one of the biggest problems I see too nowadays, with especially with the younger generation and even our generation, people who went to college and became either, and they went to college and they had took out student loans. A lot of those people are our age and they're still paying their student loans because
Oh,
either they
yeah.
deferred it or they were just paying the minimum and they were just paying the interest the whole time and they still have that loan on top of all their other bills. So it's learning how to get that debt-free life, I feel like, is so important. I feel it's such an important topic that we need to really tackle, because how do we get that debt-free
Oh,
life?
yeah. One of the things that we're going to discuss right now is the path to doing that and a few of the highlights of things that you need to know and understand. So clearly in this webinar, we're not going to go into all the nuances of it, but I'm going to introduce you to the various things that you need to consider. And I'm going to give you a solution as to how you can actually take some time to learn these principles and apply them in your life. So it's going to be a good discussion.
I love it. Let's go.
All right. Well, the first thing that we want to understand is taxes. Taxes are, I think, a thing that a lot of people are unaware of. Oftentimes, when we're receiving a paycheck, it's out of our paycheck before we see the money in the bank. So it's
Yes.
coming off the top. And so it's kind of hard to understand, okay, I'm earning so much, whether it's hourly or salary, but at the end of the day, I only take home so much. And so we want to understand what that tax is. And the thing that I want to, first of all, stress is understand that taxes have a purpose. It's how we pay for the streets that we drive on. It's how we
Yeah.
actually have the policeman that's in the corner that's able to help us and assist us in a time of need. It's the paying for the firefighter. It's paying for a variety of things that we oftentimes either take for granted or don't realize,
Yeah.
but it's yet what we're using to pay for all these things. And yes, the taxes come out of like sales tax. Yes, they come out of, say, gas tax and property tax, but we do have a payroll tax. And so I think it's very important to, first of all, just understand that that happens first. And generally speaking, we're all experiencing it. There is a healthy discussion that we can have whether or not it's appropriate and whether there's too much. But the reality of it is we're all paying a payroll tax. And so that's the first thing you have to understand is when you earn something, right off the top,
Yeah.
Uncle Sam takes his portion. And it's oftentimes very surprising to people, especially when they're first becoming employed as youth. When you have a teenager that goes out and gets a job, they're very excited about the fact that they earned so much money. And when they get that first paycheck and realize how much they get to take home, it's often a shock. It's one of those things of I'm just amazed at how much Uncle Sam is taking.
I
And that's
know.
a reality check for a lot of people. And so, as parents teaching our children what is tax and that it does come out, we can have a lot of fun with it. I've seen people do, the fun little memes where they actually hand somebody an ice cream cone, and before the kid takes a bite, they take a chunk out of the ice cream cone and say, "That's the taxes for me getting it for you." I mean, you could teach it a number of ways.
Yeah.
There's a funny one where a child is playing Monopoly and he's crying, just very emotional, and he's very frustrated. Well, the question is why are you so upset? He's paying taxes. It's very emotional. So we have to, first of all, understand that. So that's the first thing, taxes.
I love it. I love it. Now, you know, one of the things that you had mentioned about you had wanted to speak about is living within your means. You know, I find that that's one of the biggest things that people, you know, kind of fall into a hole because they don't live within their means. You know, we want to go on vacation, we want to live life. We don't want to work to live. We want to, you know, live, you know.
Live to work.
Yeah. And so, you know, we do want to go on those vacations and we do want to do things and enjoy our time with our families and create those beautiful memories. But when is it too much? Sometimes I see people who are struggling financially and you see them every other month going on a vacation. And then I'm saying to myself, how are they doing that? You know, I can't even do that, you know. And it's like, so, you know, when do we, you know, put boundaries on ourselves and when, you know, how do we learn how to live within our means?
Yeah, well, there's a few things here. First of all, life is not a competition. I think living and trying to stay up with the Joneses is something that we need to be conscious of. I think a lot of us are through peer pressure, just wanting the newer clothes, the newer car, the newer house, the newer whatever. And so there is that competition. We need to contemper ourselves. We need to actually realize we're not in competition with them. Unfortunately, there are people that live paycheck to paycheck, or even worse, live in debt. They're living on other people's credit. And so one of the things that we're trying to do here is live within our means. And so you brought up budgeting. Budgeting is just, first of all, sitting down and realizing I have something I can control and I'm going to live within my means. And so you might be familiar with, if you're old enough, your parents may be doing the envelope approach. If you had cash, which credit cards are fairly new, I mean, credit cards, although they've existed for a long time, they became more common or mainstream in the 1980s and 90s. Well, as credit cards came on the scene, they started to take cash out of the equation, which is to say, people used to get a check, go to the bank, cash the check, come home with cash, and then you would take the envelope and you would say, this much is for rent or for the mortgage, this is for food and groceries, this is maybe for school. And you would basically take the monies and put them in these envelopes and literally from those envelopes pay your bills. And once you paid those bills, that the money was gone and you went to the grocery store and you had in the shopping cart so many things, but at the cash register, you only had so much in the envelope to pay, you put things back. And I do feel that today our children are unfortunately not seeing what cash is. They just see us walk up to the cash register, we tap, we walk away. They never see us pay the bill. They never see how we're budgeting. And so we're really teaching a younger generation a very, I would say, sordid understanding or perception of what cash really is, because they don't hold it. It's not tangible. It's not something that they have to give up in exchange for something else. And so what we're needing to do is go back to this principle of budgeting, like you mentioned, and really come up with this idea of I'm earning so much money. It doesn't matter how much. It's are you living in your means? You could be making $1,000 a month, $10,000 a month, $100,000 a month. Doesn't matter. Are you living within your means? Because we can all spend what we're earning. It's just, are we actually having anything left over?
You know, I have a real quick funny story to tell you. So you talked about like how our parents used to put everything in envelopes. So my in-laws used to do that when, you know, back in the day. And then so that when they had extra money, they would put it in a little envelope for, you know, for one day they would buy something, you know, special. And so my father-in-law was doing that, my mother-in-law was doing that, but she was putting it away in her pocketbook and he was putting it in the mattress. Well, one day she said, "Oh, the mattress is really old." She goes, "I think I need to get a new mattress." She didn't realize that there was $10,000 in the envelope of years of saviature, and she threw out
Oh
the
yeah, no, it happens all the time, especially with the older generations. You're right. You know, it's in books, it's in pockets. I know of individuals that put money in books and they just realized nobody ever reads the books, nobody looks in the library in the house, and so they had put money within the books. Well, people just didn't understand that, and they would take the books and give them away, take the books and when they died, give it away to the Goodwill. In these books, there's tons of money. It's because these older generations didn't trust the banking system. They saw banks collapse, and so they just didn't realize the power of interest, so they didn't invest. And so they took cash and they basically said, I need it here within my fingertips. And so you've got an older generation that really just got to put cash all over the place. And you've just got to understand that.
Yeah, when you talked about living for today and really focusing on planning for tomorrow, and it was so interesting because it is time goes by quickly, and before you know it, you but a blink of an eye, you're like, where did all these years pass? And if we have to live for today, we have to focus on what we need to do now and enjoy our present moment also. But at the same time, we really need to focus on, okay, when I turn 60 or 65, I want to be at this place in my life, and I want to be able to, maybe downsize and move here and be able to do this and be able to go here, and I want to be able to sell my business maybe, or leave my job and have, a substantial amount of money. And if you own a business, you want to be able to sell that business in good standing. If you work at a job, you want to be able to take the money that you put away in different plans and be able to maybe utilize that money somehow in a productive manner. So in your eyes, what is your concept of living for today and planning for tomorrow? What do you find that is most substantial and most beneficial for people in order to really live that full productive lifestyle?
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
First of all, it's savings. Savings is very, very important. And so let me kind of break this down into two categories. Savings, first and foremost, you need to be planning for the short term. Life happens. Things will take place. You're going to need new tires. Your washer and dryer is going to need to be replaced. The heating and air conditioning needs to be updated. The roof needs to be replaced. I mean, there's things that happen. Somebody gets sick, breaks an arm, you got to go to the emergency room. Well, how do you actually plan for that? Well, the best way to do it is to have a savings account that is liquid in the sense that it's easily accessible and it can be used in these times of need. And so, generally speaking, what people will have is on hand as many as, say, about 3 months worth of savings to cover the expenses that traditionally happen within the home. So if you just from living your house or living your life, paying for the groceries, paying for the mortgage, paying for the internet, paying whatever bills you have, typically live off of, let's say, $2,000 to $3,000 a month. I'm just making up a number. Let's say your living expenses are $3,000 a month. Those are the average bills you pay every single month. Well, you should in theory, have about $9,000 in a bank account that you're able to pull from, so those times of needs aren't stressful. That when something happens, you're not now wondering, what am I going to have to go to the pawn shop with, or who am I going to have to ask for as a friend for money or family for money? You have that slush fund that's available to you for your unexpected needs. Okay. So that's the savings account. But then you also brought up the planning for the long term, which is retirement. You need to also be setting aside funds for that day in the future when you're going to retire. And it's basically put away a little. It's that $100 a month, maybe $200 a month, and you're investing it possibly in, let's say, you could put it in the stock market. You could put it in commodities. It's just you find something that you're excited about and passionate about. Maybe work with a financial planner, somebody that can assist you. This is their expertise to help you plan for retirement. And as you're planning, what's going to happen is then you're going to come to that point where if you can't work, you have some means to provide for yourself to cover those living expenses that you have. So, one, you're going to be living within your means, so we're not going into debt. Two, you're saving so that if for whatever reason, let's say you broke your arm and you couldn't work for 2 weeks, you have the means to pay the bills. So you've got that slush fund. The washer and dryer goes out, you can replace it. And then you build that back up to that, maybe say $9,000 if that's the number that you want to use. That's your zero that you're going to use in life. You always have that money on hand. And then with retirement, you're planning for that future date when you're going to no longer be able to work, and you're going to hopefully be able to retire and spend some time with family and maybe enjoy life a little bit. But if you've got those three things in place, you're living within your means, you're saving that slush fund, and you're planning for retirement, all of a sudden life alleviates those stresses that so many experience because you have the means that you're living within.
Oh, I like that so much, because it's so many people don't do that. So many people are just, they have their checking account, they have their business accounts, they're pulling from this, they're pulling from that, but they don't save for a rainy day. And I would always save for a rainy day in my savings account in case something happens. People would make fun of me for that, because so many people that I knew never did that. But then when something came about, I had the money in my savings account to pull it out and use it for whatever reason I had to use it for. But, a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah, no, a lot of people don't understand what we're talking about. When I was first married, the one conversation that my parents had with me was how to use a checkbook. That's it. That was the only conversation that my parents had. It was with my mother. When I was getting married, she explained what a checkbook was. Now, in high school, I remember, well, actually, it was middle school. I remember actually in one of the classes, it was a life learning class where we
Yeah.
actually did do a check register, and we recorded deposits and we recorded checks that we
Right.
were paying. So I do remember that, but that was it. I
Yeah.
remember our very first conversation, or very first, let's say, spat or disagreement that I had with my fiance happened to be one over we're going to use a credit card. And I was adamant, we're not going to use a credit card. This isn't what we're going to do. We're not going to go into debt with credit. We're not
Yeah.
going to have this unnecessary thing. We're going to live within our means. We're going to live by the cash that we earn. And she was very adamant that no, we're going to have a credit card. And then the credit card was necessary. If we wanted to rent a car or go stay at a hotel, we needed the credit card. Clearly, you
Yes.
could use a debit card, but the point was, is this was people giving us money. But what she was able to later explain a little bit better when I wasn't so emotional was the fact that we're going to pay the credit card off every
Yes.
month, that somebody was going to give us a line of credit that we were going to use and not pay any interest on it because we
Right.
chose to pay the credit card off in full each and every month. And for doing so, we were the exception, but we got these points of either travel points or
Yes.
hotel points or flight miles. All of a sudden, we were actually being given credits for
Yeah.
monies that other people had that they're willing to lend us for a 30-day period of time. It was phenomenal. Well, I leveraged that. We use credit cards, we pay them off in full each and every month. We
Yes.
don't carry a balance, but the beauty of it is I earn points and I travel with these points and I enjoy hotel stays and more importantly, travel with them on airlines. This is awesome. Why? Because I understand the system and I'm using it to my advantage.
Exactly. And another thing too is that I do the same thing. And what I found is that my credit score is phenomenal
Okay.
because I pay my credit card bill off every month.
Oh,
And
yeah.
that really, and they actually they do like if you keep a little bit on the balance. So, if you leave a few dollars in there sometimes, no, you don't think so?
No, they want you to. That's how they're making money. I don't want to leave my money there. No, I don't want to pay any interest at all, period.
Because I heard that they the credit companies, the credit when they do the credit scores, that they want you to have they will sometimes take a couple of points down if you consistently pay off everything. No, that's not true.
I'm well into the 800s. I'm perfectly fine. So I'm not worried about that at all. If that's true, so be it. I'm not carrying a balance. I'm not paying anyone interest. I'm earning interest. Interest is my friend. I want to earn it. That's proof that my money is working for me.
Right, exactly. I agree with you. Now, you had mentioned also with before our conversation that there are like four essential things to a happy relationship. And as we
Oh, yeah.
discussed earlier, we were talking about how sometimes, 'cause, when you have financial problems, it can be so stressful. It affects the relationship. And we were even saying, sometimes you hear in statistics that divorce a lot of times occurs because of financial problems. So what are your like four essential, pointers for a happy relationship.
You bet. And I'm going to introduce this in a very simple way. The things that we've been discussing as it relates to personal finance and what I'm about to share regarding having a healthy, happy relationship are actually two free courses that we created here at the school for individuals. And I invite your listeners to take advantage of them. The free courses, I'll give the URL to Stacy so that she can put it in the description for you to take advantage of. But if you'd like, it's very simple. You can go to uacourses.com and in the catalog, you can go to free resources and there you can find the class. One is Money Management 101, the other one is the couples course. But these four things, just to kind of give them some concept or content or con. Or application, that's the word I'll use for it, is context was what I was trying to say. Some context is my three children were each getting married. And when they each came to me with their girlfriend or boyfriend at the time asking for my blessing, I said, you may have my blessing so long as I can have a conversation with you the weeks preceding the marriage. And in that exchange, they got my blessing. And so for each of my three children, I had a conversation with them preceding the marriage where I discussed these four things. And I feel that these are essential discussion items that every couple should have. They're a necessary part of the relationship that leads to what I refer to as a happy, healthy relationship. The first is God, faith, and religion. Whether you're agnostic, atheist, a God-fearing person or not, I think as a couple, you need to have a conversation of what that means to you and how faith is relevant and whether or not organized religion is going to be part of your life. The second happens to be love languages. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but once you understand what someone's love language is, whether or not it's quality time, it's physical touch, whether or not it's, let's say, words of affirmation, everybody has a specific way in which they either communicate or prefer to receive love. And if you can understand what yours is and what your partner's is, you can better meet their needs and fill their buckets. And I think that's an essential part of the conversation. The third is finance. We've just been talking about finance. This is something that we go deeply into. I talk about, you know, whether or not the each couple, each person in the relationship has an allowance so that they can spend certain monies freely. What is too much money? Can they go spend $1,000 without permission? Can they spend $500 without permission? At what point do you need to consult the other partner? You know, if I'm spending $5 on a coffee, does it matter if I'm going to go buy, say, something for $500? Should I involve the other individual? You need to have as a relationship a conversation about what are those thresholds so you don't have these surprises and you're just like, what are you doing? You know, we're trying to buy a car or buy a house. Why are you spending money on this? You went and bought shoes that are $1,000. Are you kidding me? Yeah. So what we need to do is have a conversation beforehand about that. The fourth is then intimacy and sex. It's really understanding how that is a key element of the relationship and how each person perceives and understands it and what each person has as expectations about it. Yeah. You know, there's people that really, I don't think have a conversation about it. And today it can lead to a lot of frustrations. Right. And so to have this conversation brought up is quite interesting. And, you know, I'm sitting here as the father of one of the individuals and this other person is coming into the family and I'm having them have a discussion about intimacy and sex, not in my presence necessarily, but I bring up the conversation to say, now you two go discuss this. Yeah. And so those four things I think are so essential as part of what that relationship is now going to be built upon. It's the foundation. And so for me, it's that God, family, religion, love languages, finance, and that intimacy and sex is the fourth.
I love that. That's wonderful. Yeah. And those are four important factors that really make a relationship. And a lot of times, you know, people, I've seen people like later on in life, they're still not really understanding what, you know, some of those things really mean to the other person, what really, you know, what that person's needs are, what that person's looking for. And they're what they think that person is looking for is not really what that person's looking for. And unless you sit down and you actually communicate those things with each other, you know, there's going to be a lot of miscommunication and an unhappiness can come into the relationship.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion, capital at risk.
Oh, yeah. One of the things that I find interesting is how little people discuss these things before actually getting married. Yeah. Love is blind. You just get kind of caught up in the emotion. You just you turn a blind eye to things. You're like, oh, that's fine. I'll change that in the other person. Or, you know, that's something that will go away. Honestly, these conversations really bring a lot to the surface that I think really can either really affirm the foundation of the relationship and say, yeah, we're on the same page, or say, oh, maybe we're, you know, I want kids. You don't want kids. Okay. That's a deal breaker. As for family, I want to go to my family for different family functions, family parties, holidays. We're going to do 4th of July with my family. No, we're going to do 4th of July with my family. Yeah. We're going to do Christmas with my family. No, we're going to do Yom Kippur. I mean, it's what are we doing? And as a family, we need to have those conversations to actually say, okay, what are we really truly discussing and expecting as we grow our family unit? And so it's just to cause the conversation. And honestly, most of the time in a relationship, you're really more in common than not. So it's not generally that there's going to be a lot of disagreement, but there are times that things come up that the person didn't realize at all. It's like, oh, I didn't know that was that important to you. And I'm happy to support you in that. And so when you have these four conversations, it's great. I actually, it's intentional in the course. And when I did it with my children, it's one a week. And so it's something that you're able to kind of dive deep into, and over a course of a week, have some tangential conversations that kind of carry over. And then you go to the next week and have another conversation. I have had this conversation with newlyweds. I've had it with soon to be wed. I've had this conversation with very older individuals that are like grandparents and so forth. And it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. I think these are healthy conversations for everyone to have.
Oh, I agree 100%. Definitely, definitely. Now, out of everything we talked about, are there some things that you'd like to emphasize that you feel are very important for the listeners to understand?
Yes, with regards to personal finance, I think it's very healthy that you understand that there are things that you need to be responsible for. One part of the conversation, I bring up not only just medical health, but more importantly, having, like, let's say a life policy on one of the people. Once you have children, I think it's important to have not just health insurance, but life insurance.
Yes.
I talk about that and the ramifications of that and the responsibilities for that. The other thing that I did talk about or do talk about, like you mentioned earlier, is vacations or personal time, or basically going out and enjoying life.
Yes.
It's not that you have to go to Tahiti every month. You don't have to go on this 2-week vacation every month, but it is to say, what are you doing to recharge? What are you doing to enjoy life? What are you doing to experience life? And it
Yes.
doesn't have to be very expensive. Some of these
Right.
things can be very inexpensive, but the
Yes.
point is if you can plan accordingly and do so affordably, you can really enjoy life. And people then look at you like you were describing your friends of how are they doing this all the time? Well,
Yeah.
they're leveraging certain things. You know, when I was traveling, I was taking my family of five. I've got three children. And when we would travel, I literally would take them about every other month around the country. And it's because of how we were doing credit cards. I never paid but for one flight of the five. Well, that's
Right.
powerful. So if I could
Yes.
take my family across country for the cost of one individual, it was very affordable. And then when we
Yes.
got to the place, the hotels were paid for by the work. They didn't care if
Right.
I had me in the room or my whole family in the room. It was one room. And so
Right.
I could actually have the company pay for the hotel rooms. The car was paid for by the company. I didn't have to pay for the car. I rented the car
Yes.
for me for work, and I put the
Right.
family in it. So all of these things were affordable because of how I was leveraging what I had available to me. Well, to the
Right.
outside person, they just saw that I was able to afford hotel, airfare, rental car, and I was able to do things with my family that frequently was very, very intimidating to others.
Yeah.
They thought we were the Joneses. And so they were trying to keep up with
Yeah,
us. But little did they know we were doing it on a very little dime and it was very, very affordable.
I love that. I love that. Now tell everybody a little about your services and everything that you provide.
Yeah, so Universal Accounting School, we're basically a post-secondary school for accounting professionals. We work with individuals that are interested in getting into the accounting profession, people who are accounting professionals that would like to excel in their career, and then lastly, those individuals who are specifically wanting to start and build successful accounting, bookkeeping, and tax businesses. That is who we work with. We have programs designed to help them offer quality services to the small business community. In addition to that, we have a number of free courses that we've just created over the time to help address things such as personal finance, these couple relationships. We've got things that address mental health, just free resources that you can take advantage of. You can go to universalaccounting.com, and in that section, universalaccounting.com, find in the navigation free resources. Everything that I'm alluding to here are shared there. You can access the personal and personal finance course from there as well. And then basically, what we try to do is enhance the accounting community. We're trying to empower them to better service the small business world.
I love it. I love it. And it's so important, when it comes to accounting, you can make or break a business. So it's really important that you really take accounting seriously. People don't realize how much of an impact it really has on
That's right.
our lives and on our business. So,
Yeah.
I love what you're doing and I love today's discussion. This was amazing and you covered a lot of important topics that went from your personal life all the way to your business life. And I thought today's conversation was so phenomenal.
Well, thank you. Well, I invite the listeners to take advantage of those free courses. They are free. They're very simple. They're about an hour each, and so I would definitely encourage you to dive into those. Just go to universalaccounting.com and in the free resource section, find the personal finance course, and you can get both of the curriculums there.
Wonderful. Well, this has been great. I can't wait to see you soon, and I can't wait to our next topic. We have such great topics to talk about in the future. So everybody, I listen in because we have some really, really great surprises for you. So, and check out also Roger's previous podcast. He has some great podcasts, and his last podcast was phenomenal. It was on time management, and that's something that we all could use a little help on. So check out his podcast. You'll find them, and anywhere you on any of the distribution channels, just type his name in, and it'll pop right up. Thank you so much, Roger. This has been a pleasure, like always.
Always a pleasure, Stacey. Yeah, if you would like to connect with me on LinkedIn, and always remember this, if it's about accounting, it is universal.
It is universal. You have a great day.